Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hello, my name is Anna Lamare. This is Porch Talk, and I'm going to do a song called Sweet Lydia Vance.
Well, I remember when I first saw Lydia Vance, like a shadow floating across open sand. It meant everything, for I would lose her again. Immortal in my mind, my lost love, Lydia Vance. Furious angel works late with the dead. A voice so soft, still unwed, she'd remind me still water wears down stones. But place your palm in the Coal Creek bed, the earth is never alone. She said she knows the screaming of the years, the shrouding woman that sent for mama. She bathed John Wesley and served the paupers, granting them a deeper grave than any rich man who'd been saved. Hell is certain across the cracks we've danced, oh my dear sweet Lydia. Dead folks so heavy, like they're clinging to a cliff. You asked if everything dissolves like this. I bathed in black, you in a clean bleed sheet. My heart broke like a chorus of scattered wings. The horizon now sheds red as it grows. A mortal billow of ravens, rain, and bones. Oh, Lydia, I'm a puppet without strings, falling into your tomb for eternity. Says she knows the screaming of the years, the shrouding woman that sent for mama. She bathed John Wesley deeper grave than any rich man who's been saved. Hell is certain. Across the cracks we've danced on my dear sweet Lydia Vance. Oh, my dear sweet Lydia Vance.
Well, as Anna tells you, welcome to Porch Talk. And I don't know if it was your first time in Mississippi altogether, but welcome to Columbus.
Thank you. Yeah, pretty much. I haven't actually really spent almost any time in Mississippi until about 4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I feel like you really got a bang for your buck this weekend.
I did. Oh, my gosh. I got really lucky. Well, I had 2 days before I even got here, I got to spend in Oxford and just got to walk around and go to Faulkner House and Square Books and all that. But then I had three nights here in Columbus, and it's been incredible. I've had so much fun.
Just to fill in the blanks, Steve Ellis connected everything. Steve and I just started trying to work together, and man, he couldn't talk fast enough when he was telling me about you.
Aww.
He was like, her voice is going to take you back to, he threw in several influences, and like, I was like, yep, they're all there. I hear it. Great voice and great song. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
How did you and Steve connect?
So we met at Folk Alliance, So Folk Alliance International in Kansas City. I guess that would have been 2 months ago now, probably.
Yeah.
We connected because I was supposed to share an airport ride with him, and he was coming in about an hour after I was, and then I found a bus for a bunch of us, and he was like, "You left me behind," but he still decided to be cool. And he told me about The Barn, his concert series, and I looked it up after I got back from Folk Alliance, and it looked beautiful and amazing, and I saw the people that played there. One of my favorites out of New Orleans, Andrew Duhon, was one of the first ones I saw on there, and then I kind of reached out because I knew I was coming up this way, and he books out for a year in advance,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
But he was so kind, and you know, he got me up for a song in between Bree Kennedy and Top House, which were the people that played on Thursday, and they were amazing. And then he helped me put together a show with Salem over at the Columbus Arts Council, and it was just this beautiful, intimate night. That was last night. It was so much fun. He just went above and beyond to take care of me, and it's been really special.
Nova Theater, that is such a great listening room.
Great.
I'm so glad that we're beginning to utilize that space.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how long that place just sat and
really
wasn't being used.
Well, Salem, who directs it, he walked me through the space and the art gallery, which was amazing. The artists that were in there and showed me all the things that they were working towards building, and it's going to be incredible. And he's so passionate about it, and I'm excited for Columbus and for the space because the sound was amazing, and everybody was just so kind and welcoming. That this beautiful space, yeah.
I'm excited for Salem and a lot of people. It's kind of like the old guard is handing over the reins to the new guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like we've been waiting forever to be able to have a say and to be able to make cool events.
Yeah.
It's nice to finally be in that...
In that space.
Yeah, in that space.
Yeah.
And being able to we're going to do some shows.
Yeah. After The Barn, we did a fireplace kind of, you know, round the fireplace until about midnight after the show, all the other bands, and we were all playing songs and stuff, and I was in the middle of that song, Sweet Lydia Vance, and a piece of ash from the fire went right to the back of my throat.
Oh no!
Oh my gosh, and I was just like, ah!
We, at Munson Brothers, I host the open mic there.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
cool.
In the winter times and in the fall or early spring, we have a fire pit.
Oh yeah.
Oftentimes it gets a little too close to the stage, and there's been so many nights to where one of us is up there playing, and it's like the smoke is just right in your face, and it's like, well, I was gonna sing, but I can't breathe.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. It's a whenever there's like bonfires around, you know, just all that stuff. It definitely affects me. I'm always in awe of people who smoke cigarettes and can sing still, because I have like those little cigarillos.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll have one. I can't sing for like 4 days. It affects me so much. Like I have to wait.
I'm trying to remember the director. Oh, it was the guy who did the first Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
So the voice with that little girl, they were talking about like how they would get like the more, I guess, demonic possessed voice. So there was this chick in Canada. I can't remember her name. But she used to be on like Canada radio. And she was known for having a raspy female voice. And so what he did is he sat her down, gave her like 5 shots of whiskey back to back to back to back, and asked her to chain smoke an entire pack of cigarettes.
Oh God!
And that,
back when you could do that,
and that got her voice to where like that voice that you hear in the film.
Oh wow!
So it like
it works.
It works.
It does,
and it does have an effect. And like some people use it to their advantage, and some people just like nope.
I can have like a whiskey or two before I play and be okay, but like there's a certain line where it starts at least the upper registers, like it just starts to really, it's the muscles, right? It relaxes them, and and so like I'm sure there's, yeah, anyway, I digress.
Well, I wanted to get to know you a little bit. Anna, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
So that's a long story, but the short form is I was born in Long Island, New York, and I kind of got moved around my whole life.
Was you a military kid? Or?
Not military. So it was my mom and I to start, and she is a musician, and so it was just the kind of two of us, and we moved around to different we lived with different family members, and then she started going to school at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and we moved there, which is where she met my stepdad, who became my adopted father, who's Australian, and he's a cartographer, and
whoa.
Yeah, probably doesn't even exist as a job anymore, you know, but back in the day it really was, and so his job landed up moving us all over because he worked for different oil field servicing companies. Mm-hmm. And so that was back in the day when they would move you to like a different country for a couple years and pick up your whole house and move you there with it. And so we did that a lot. And so I went to a lot of international schools. I was abroad in Europe from when I was 13 to 22,
oh, wow.
About 23. Yeah. So all of my high school and college years were out there. And then when I moved back to the States, I moved to North Carolina to Chapel Hill for 4 years. And then I was in New Orleans for many years, and then Houston, and now I'm kind of based in Austin, and I just kind of got there. But I've been kind of on the road playing music since last December, so I'm kind of just continually on that nomadic pathway, a little troubadour kind of thing. So,
yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So coming back to the States, what made you choose Chapel Hill?
So I know it's kind of random. I had never been to North Carolina. But my best friend from university, she had been convinced by her other good friend to move to Raleigh, and I hadn't been in the States for so long, and none of my immediate family lived there, so I didn't really know where to go. I couldn't afford to live in New York City. I just got out of school, you know.
Right.
And so she was there, and she was in Cary, which is nicknamed the containment area for relocated Yankees, and this is like a suburb of Raleigh. And she convinced me to move there, and so I got there, and we quickly found Carrboro Chapel Hill, which was a lot smaller and quainter, and great music, and just green, and we quickly kind of relocated there, and I was there for almost 4 years.
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard so many great things about that little triangle area when it comes to music.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little bit of whatever you could possibly want.
Anything you want. It's incredible, the music. Those 4 years transformed like my understanding of music. If I hadn't moved there, I probably wouldn't be a musician today, because I worked at this place called The Station, or the Southern Rail. And it's a bar that's made out of a train station and train cars and everything.
Yeah.
And I bartended there and managed and stuff, but I also booked bands there for a while. And we had live free shows 6 or 7 nights a week.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And which, you know, part of that was difficult because there was only so much we could pay the artists that were coming through. So I didn't enjoy that part of it, but I was really lucky in being able to bring in a lot of people that I loved, and I got to see a lot of the local artists perform there too. So like Watch House or Mandolin Orange, when they were first start, like their when their first album had come out, was that time frame, and so I was they were playing at my venue, and Sarah Shook was Sarah Shook and the Devil back then. She was doing a Thursday night Americana
night.
She's
played the Sunstroke House here.
Oh, cool! Yeah, I love her. She's or I sorry. Sarah is now River, and I love them. That was a really wonderful time. I got to see so many people that I've now gotten to see just blossom, and they're kicking ass. Honestly, they're so that was really special, and it got me. I moved to North Carolina thinking I hated country, I hated bluegrass. You know, I was very much like just not in that. I didn't grow up with it. And by the time I left there, I was completely changed and stuff. So, yeah, I'm very grateful for my time there.
So, Austin now, I feel like it's being revitalized since the COVID years. I feel like a lot of musicians and creatives are flocking to it. Like, for a while, it felt like it was Nashville. That was the move. And now, like, a lot of people I know who are trying to break it are, like, they're going out to Austin.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah, I'm still figuring it out. I honestly tried to... I got to Austin a little bit was strategic because the city is one of the few cities in the United States that really takes care of its musicians. We have a lot of nonprofit organizations, such as HAM and some other ones that give, you know, they do health insurance, and there's mental health, assistance and a lot of other programming. And I really needed that. And I wanted a community of musicians. And it was the closest place to where I already had been. So I kind of got there, but I didn't really know much else about it. And I've loved the people I've met there. The community there is, there's a lot of really talented artists that live there. I haven't quite figured out it's a slightly interesting kind of process to work there. You know, there's a lot of residencies and a lot of really talented people vying for not that many like intimate songwriter venues. And so playing there is really difficult. And sometimes it takes 6 months to get an answer sometimes from somebody, but, it's a great hub and it's a great place to be and then go tour out of, I find. And if you can manage a residency there, you can make some really great, kind of memories and connections and all that. So yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
One of my favorite songwriters or just musicians in general is Steve Earle.
Oh yeah,
and
he's great.
He's I feel like he's taking up the helm. Like I just hear all these stories coming out of Austin of him like really beginning to take some of the new generation under his wing.
Oh great!
And, like really,
yeah.
You know, here's the craft. I'm gonna show you what I know.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And that's what it's all about, you know, is, I mean, even here, like, some of our veterans, man, they are so good to the new kids on the block.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that. Like, our big thing, and I'm sure you've run into it over the years in your travels, is this is not a competition, it's about cooperation.
Exactly.
And so, like, man, late in my 20s, I was fairly successful. We were moving around, we were playing a lot of shows, and... what really sold it for me, it was me. I was real competitive and I was incredibly jealous of what everyone else was doing, and whatever I had going on, it was never good enough. And when something finally clicked to where I was like, hey, dummy, you're doing all right, and it, like, you don't have to like be upset with everyone else's success. Like, we can all come up, you know, it's
all boats rise in a rising tide.
That's it.
Yeah.
It was like, once I started figuring that out, I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I was talking to Steve Ellis about this a little bit last night, and he was like, man, I don't know how y'all do it, because there's just so much talent out there, and and there really is. It's also, I was kind of telling him, I was like, I try not to think about it that way, because, well, one, you know, I mean, there's so many talented people, it's a good thing, right? You want everybody out there making and creating as much as possible. There's enough room for everybody to create, I think. But also, like, I think in terms of it's not so much a competition, but I feel like it's a marathon where if you cross the finish line, like everyone wins, kind of in a way. Like it's like you all get a medal or something. But because I think if you work hard and you stick around, which is the big thing, it seems. And you're a good person, good, you know, don't be a dick. Really, can I curse on here?
Yeah.
Don't be a dick. Yeah. I have a sailor's mouth, so I have to like watch myself sometimes. So I'm like, if you work hard, you stick around, don't be a dick. And there's always a little bit of luck, but I feel like everybody can create a little bit of their own luck. You just have to pay attention to it. And I think with those things, you know, and you have to have, you can't be awful. You know,
right.
But even if you're not even like incredible, I think the other things can outweigh the talent sometimes.
It's good to be lucky.
Yeah, it's good to be lucky too.
It's like you just said, so many times I've seen it to where it was not even the most talented in the room, but he just happened to be the luckiest.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think we all get luck.
It rises to the occasion.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just, you know, we get luck.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like in random moments, you just have to be kind of grateful for those ones. It might not be the one you're hoping for, but we all get it here and there. So,
well, tell me a little bit about your travels. So you're leaving Mississippi for Nashville?
Well, I've got a house show in Huntsville, Alabama tonight.
Oh, great. You're going to Rocket City.
That's right. Yes. I've only been there once, like briefly years ago.
That's one of the fastest growing cities in Alabama.
I heard that. Yeah. My dear family friend lives there, and she's the one putting on the house show, which I'm excited about. And so I was just going to stay on the way to Nashville, and then we were like, let's make it an event. Which, by the way, house shows are the most incredible things for musicians. So if you're listening and you want to support a musician, host a house show. They're amazing.
All right. Also, like one thing that we've started doing, like my local musicians in Starkville, is I'm blanking on the website, but having your house available, like if there's a musician or a band like passing through.
Is it Side Door?
Yes.
Side Door.
It's like having like, hey, the house is available, I'm here. If you need to crash.
Side Door's awesome for house shows. You can basically say, I am this location, and from this date to this date, or on any of these particular dates, I would love to house somebody. And then anybody who's signed up will get a notification that there's a call, and then they can apply to be in that house show.
Yeah.
It's great.
Are you familiar with Will Johnson?
Will Johnson?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So he played a house venue here, Sunstroke. And he was in a fairly popular band back in like the late 90s in the alts, Centromatic.
Okay.
And he's worked with a lot of people over the years. He's very fairly prolific Texas singer-songwriter. And I started like just following him. And what he does is he goes on two tours a year. Mm-hmm. They're house show tours all across the nation. So it's about a 2-month, 3-month span.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he does it all house shows. I mean,
house shows are incredible. Yeah. They're intimate. People are there to listen and to engage. Usually do really well selling merch, honestly, because people want to take home something that reminds them of it. Mm-hmm. So overall, it's the least amount of stress on an artist, I think. And it's also like one of the most valuable kind of connection-based ways of hosting a show. And a lot of times, like, the house show host will put you up for the night too and stuff. Mm-hmm. So just overall, and it's just, it's not casual, but it just feels more like you're sharing with friends and family, you know. They're really special. I love playing venues, but I would love to make a majority of my shows house shows.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So Huntsville, Nashville?
Yeah.
Where else you headed?
So Huntsville, I'm going to be in Nashville for a couple of days, and then I'm going to the Regional Folk Alliance Conference in Black Mountain, North Carolina. That'll be at the end of next week. And then I will be in Chapel Hill and Carrboro playing some gigs, and then I'll be playing in Greensboro, North Carolina, and then I make my way back down to Austin for Kerrville Folk Festival. And then I'm kind of just taking off, me and the dog, who's been panting in the background. Isla and I are going to go up to Colorado, BC, and the West Coast. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be, a lot of that is kind of, I had a lot of other work things come up that kind of got in the way of me booking it out the way I wanted to. But so right now, a little bit of it's going to be a free-for-all of just busking and just going to random towns and just seeing what I could make work. But that's, you know, being a new musician, kind of you got to do that sometimes. So
right.
It'll be fun.
It'll
be open-ended.
That's one thing that I hope to do this summer is be able to travel more. Mm-hmm. Like states I've never been to, and like just really being in awe of just how beautiful this country is.
It is.
And like it seems like each state you go to, it's almost like being in a different country.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Just the people and the culture of it. I just... You know, I know it's not easy, and you know, I mean, you're practically a car, a mechanical issue away from like, this is the end.
Don't remind me.
You know,
my car's like, been shuddering. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to take it. I was like, please don't make anything bad. I think it's either a battery. It could be battery or alternator, but I have to take it and get it scanned because it started shuddering when it was at a stoplight recently, and I was like, oh man.
The whole troubadour, I have so much respect for it, but like, you know, a lot of people, like, I guess, kind of think about it as like it's some kind of a vacation, but no it's not. You're working.
You are working all the time. I mean, it's to a point sometimes where like I'll be driving. I mean, I relish my moments driving alone. Yeah, I love those because a lot of times I'll drive in silence. I just think, and sometimes I'll write. I'll do voice memos. But most of the time, half the time, like I go to listen to music and I'm like, well, actually I need to listen to particular things, like alternative research and like trying to delve into things. And so it's like my brain's always on the job in some ways. You know, it's hard. We're you know, my dog is an 85-pound mountain dog, and you know, I've had to invest a lot into making the car kind of livable for both of us. And we just have an AC unit on the way, so throughout the summer she's safe when I'm at a gig and stuff. But it takes up a lot of space and weight and money and stuff, and it's not necessarily the most comfortable thing in the world, you know. But it's also, you know, I love it for, you know, all the other reasons that you could love that, you know. But it's using the car as kind of our home on the road is no worries. It's a work in progress, and it's something you learn, you adjust something a little bit every day, and it takes a long time to figure out exactly what you need and where to put it and your systems and stuff.
Since you've been working at it, we were talking about venues such as the Barn and like looking who had played there in the past.
Yeah.
or even maybe going back to Chapel Hill, booking those shows, mm-hmm. is what's some of your most memorable shows? Or like maybe you got a chance to play or share the stage with somebody.
Yeah. Well, last night's definitely going to be in the books because it was my first Arts Center show, and it was also my 100th show, which was really cool. Yeah. I did get to open for Sarah Shook at the Post in Fort Worth a number of months ago, and that was right before the Post closed, and it was a beautiful venue, and it was just so great being able to open for somebody who I used to watch and be, you know, I'm still in awe of them and the band, and that was really special. And you know, the barn show also. I know I've had a handful or two of ones that were just like really, really special. But there was this one. It was my first like sold out show, and we're talking a room this size. You know, it was probably my 10th or 12th show I had done. It was in BC, on Camino Island, which is up the Sunshine Coast, and you have to actually generally cross over to Vancouver Island, drive almost like a day's or half a day's trip up north to Powell River. You take a ferry over, and there's just this little place called Chameleon, and it was family run, and they sold it out, and everybody who came were just the sweetest, and it just was like, it felt like really special. I think it was my first show where I really felt like I was doing the right thing, and that, you know, the communication was working, and that the feelings that I was trying to, you know, talk about were being felt, and you know that it's that connection with an audience where, you know, I was talking about this on stage last night, like that kind of empathy based connection, you know, where you're trading all the emotions that we all feel or have felt, right? And it was, I remember that, and then the daughter who was, you know, the family, it was a family owned cafe, and the daughter sent me like my first fan mail. She mailed it to me, and it said like, I love you, had my sticker in it and everything. It was the sweetest thing I've ever gotten, and that was pretty special. I could drum up quite a few other ones, but I would definitely put those in there. So
right on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the craft of songwriting.
Sure.
Let's just take the song that you opened the show with.
Sure.
Music, words, how did it come to you?
Yeah. So I am in the minority of songwriters, from what I have gathered so far, in that I write lyrics almost completely first and add music later.
I do too.
Yeah? Oh, cool.
I say it's a poem until the music gets there.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's because I was a writer first. I wrote in my journals from when I was a little kid, and then I started writing poetry, and then I started writing lyrics, and then I wrote a couple bad songs, and then I kind of stuck to the poetry lyrics kind of. I always have a beat or an intonation, it's going to be this kind of song in this realm, but the melody isn't quite there. Like I'll generally know it's going to be a certain way, but not always, though. I've had songs that have come out completely different from how they read. This one was fun. This was a really interesting process. I went to a songwriter's retreat in Big Bend down in Southwest Texas last year, and we did a bunch of writing exercises that I had never done before. And one of those was called a cut up, and it's where you take, you know, like a really bad sci-fi or romance novel and like a poetry book, and then three things that are completely different, let's say, and you just go through them, and as you just see 1, 2, 3 words at a time that you find like speak to you, you just cut them out, and then you have this pile of words, and you kind of just spread them out, and then you start picking and choosing ones and kind of putting them together, and all of a sudden you start creating a song out of it, or a poem, right? And I don't think the cut up I did at the retreat landed up actually turning into a song, though some other things I did. But this one, I got a prompt. So there's a really wonderful listening room in New Braunfels, Texas, just south of Austin, called the Redbird. and they do a pretty amazing open mic there. And but this, I was planning to go to this to one on a Thursday, and on Wednesday I found out that there was a songwriting prompt for the night. I was like, oh no. So, and the prompt was Ghost Float, and I just was like, I need to just try something different to write this fast right now and not stress about it or something. Yeah. So I basically did a cut up, and so I took a book of translated Italian poems by Eugenio Montale. I picked out a bunch of things from there. I took Charles Bukowski's Women and stole the character name from there, and which is Lydia Vance. And then I have a book on Lady Undertakers of Old Texas. And I went through that. Whoa. It's like a history book. Yeah, I picked that up down in Big Bend, actually, so it kind of comes back around. And I landed up with I just wrote out the things that I picked out. So I just had the sheet of paper front and back with just all these random words and verses and stuff. And I kind of just landed up writing the story about a lady undertaker who, and the guy who loves her, and she dies. And then the music came after. I kind of just messed around until something felt right and just let it continue.
I'm sure it's different with each case. When's the song finished? Or is it a living, breathing thing?
Sometimes songs are finished. You have to let them go, because sometimes I have some songs that I've been working on for a really long time, mm-hmm. and they're getting to the point where I wish I just stuck with the original, because it's like you're getting too much into it. Sometimes too nerdy, even.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I just need to be let out in the world. There are some songs that they're done, and they feel good, and it's just. And I really don't think you know until you get on stage, because when you're doing things at home, it's really different than getting up in front of an audience. You start to notice how your timing works and how things come out of your mouth differently, like the sounds and stuff. And over time, usually by, I have some songs I've been playing for now, like quite a while. And it's only now that I'm like, I think that word's weird, or that needs a little something extra. But it took me getting through my emotional connection with the song to be like, actually, that might not be the best thing that it has. So I think it definitely is song by song. I have a lot of new songs I've been trying out, and I'm paying attention to kind of like, what do I need to adjust? Or sometimes you just change the word on stage. You don't realize you're going to do it until you do it. You're like, that wasn't what I intended, but mm-hmm. apparently this is what I need. And yeah,
I've felt that way a bit. Like a more recent song that I've written is called Outside My Window,
mm-hmm.
and I threw a couple of hooks in there, mm-hmm. to where, like, not a genuine hook, but a line. I got three lines in that song that it was like, I thought it would really catch somebody's attention, but like, what is it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. I hate it when that happens.
and I remember, like, the first few times I started playing it out, mm-hmm. like, those lines it didn't hit people like I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go back and, like, rework it, and then I finally started getting the reactions that I was wanting. And I was oh, here we are.
Yeah.
So, and that's the case, but once again, I think it depends on, like, the song and what you're trying to accomplish. But
it does.
I'm so with that. Is like I don't consider most of the things done until it's left the bedroom and I've had a chance to play it for an audience.
Yeah, it really changes everything, because you almost need to be a little bit self-conscious of what you're playing in front of people, I think, to really notice like what things. Oh, we're still in here. Oh, I gotta go soon. Lay down. I think it's you start to understand the parts that like that touch you more too, because all of a sudden you're in front of people. Isla, lay down. Lay down. Isla, lay down.
There you go.
You need to play them in front of people, because you start to notice the parts that are emotionally sensitive, and get work past that, but also understand that that's an important thing to like share with people. And it kind of goes into that, like, is it getting the reaction? Is this important thing that I'm sharing? Which, you know, it can be important to you and nobody else as well, and that's okay as well.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting process, and I'm constantly adjusting, and sometimes on accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's do three questions and we'll wrap up.
Okay.
Number one is for those listening, and I'll also put it in the description. For people who want to follow along on your journey, is there a social media to where they can keep up with you?
Yep. So I have all of the normal things. So Instagram, Facebook, I've got TikTok, though I don't use it very often. But Instagram is kind of my primary thing, but Facebook has all the same things. I have a website. I also have a newsletter, Substack. So I just kind of started that. I kind of talk about things that are upcoming, but I also kind of write and deep dive into things. So it's a little bit more of a personalized kind of newsletter. And then I have like a YouTube where I post live singles and stuff. So all under Anna Lamare, which is L-A space M, well, not online, but L-A-M-A-R-E. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Question two is, man, if you could go, I know you're getting ready for Huntsville. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
But, if you could just hop in the car and take off, where would you go?
You know, right?
Somewhere you'd like to get back to.
Yeah, I would, you know, I'd really like to go up to Maine and northeastern Canada for something I could drive to. I'd say, give me the world and I'll go on for way too long. But my grandfather lives in Maine and I love Maine, and I'd love to be up there right now and writing. And then I've heard so many incredible things about the northeastern Canadian coast, the music, the Celtic influence, which is, I love Celtic music, Irish and Scottish music. It was just some of my favorite. And, when I was playing in the west coast of Canada, people kept being like, you need to go there. And so many of my favorite artists are from the eastern coast of Canada, like Joni Mitchell and Lorena McKennitt and stuff like that. So yeah.
Don't sleep on those Canadians up there.
No.
All right, last question to walk out of the door is, what was your favorite part of this conversation?
Ooh, I like that. Talking, the kind of last part we were talking about, just the songwriting approach and how a song itself, it is living and breathing, but it's also kind of a conversation with your ego and with the connection and empathy. And I think the whole conversation of a song and what it means is so interesting in general.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I've asked that question 100 times and it's 100 different answers.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. You should just do one podcast where all you do is just post those answers, right?
Yeah, that would be the one. Well, Anna, thank you so much for
your
time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.